Catch me or I go Houdini. Allison 97.3. Good vibes and variety. We have that in spades here. But this is what we do. Good vibes and variety. It's Allison 97.3, the Sarah Vinnie morning show, and it's hump day. And probably sounds like the last cool day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to get hotter and hotter. Outside Land single day tickets. We've got those for you all day long. We have a pair right now. We'll give you a code word in just a second here. And then Mason's got a set for you at 12:05. And Jane has them every hour of her show. By the way, I think she's a big Survivor fan. I've never really talked to her about Survivor, but she's talking about how one of the...
Jane is.
Yeah. She says the best Survivor that ever came on our show was Stephanie. Most badass Survivor ever.
It's Jane.
And she, it's Jane. No, she's saying here, actually, further down, that she does love the show.
Stephanie?
Much. Yeah. You totally recognize Stephanie. She was on a bunch of times.
Okay.
It's funny, though. I don't remember interviewing her. I believe Jane because, you know, it's Jane. It's Jane. But I don't really remember interviewing Stephanie. But we interviewed a lot of them over the years, the contestants on Survivor. Okay, let's do these Outside Land single day tickets. The word is front. This is this hour's code word, F-R-O-N-T, front. Take the word front, text it to our contest line, which is 20357. Text front to 20357, and you're in the running for tickets to Outside Land single day, and you get to pick which day you'd like to go. Front is this hour's code word. Doja Cat on Friday, Gracie Abrams on Saturday, Hozier on Sunday, a million other bands playing August 8th through 10th, Golden Gate Park, courtesy of Another Planet. This hour's code word is front. You might want to go to OutsideLandsSF.com. And you can see which day you would choose if you were to win. Stephanie, yeah.
Is that her?
Yeah, Stephanie from Survivor. She played a bunch of different
There's a
seasons.
Couple Stephanies, but I'm...
La Grossa.
That's the one.
Is that her last name on there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's great. And if you missed it, an hour ago, we went through the season 50 cast. Season 50 is not until, I guess, a year from now. It'll be next spring. It'll start. But if you've been watching Survivor, it'll be a lot of characters that you know from all the, they have someone from season one, Jenna from season one, and then people from, and they're doing extra cast members too. They're doing 24 cast members. So they're already starting big, and it's a lot of names that you'll recognize, some that you won't recognize. I didn't know everybody that's on there, but they have a lot of fairly recent people, and they're going to add two people from the upcoming season 49, which starts this fall. So you can either go back and listen to the whole segment on our podcast, or I believe I posted that at the Sarah Vinnie Facebook page.
Yep.
Okay, great. So we're going to start with Hugh Jackman and his now or soon to be ex-wife, Deborah Lee Furness.
Mm-hmm.
They are divorcing. It's been known for a while that they were, he is dating someone that he was doing the Magic Man. Or the Music Man. I can't remember. He's doing some play with her on Broadway. And they are much closer in age.
It's Sutton Foster, who I've realized is the queen of one season shows. There are like a lot of shows on Netflix that she was in.
Sutton Foster.
And you know, I first saw her on Flight of the Conchords, but she's been in a ton of stuff.
Was she only in one season?
Yeah, she's kind of the queen of it.
That was funny. They say that she's, you know, really talented Broadway actress too. So she's, you know, maybe she falls back on that every time. Anyway, the two of them hit it off and they were enjoying working on the show together so much that it broke up both of their marriages. So it was fantastic. He's worth, what do you think Hugh Jackman is worth?
$100 million.
Like 30?
$101 million.
That's another point for you, Maddie.
Woo-woo!
They're worth, I'm going to say this must be them together, although I don't know what Deborah Lee Furness is bringing to the table. About $250 million worth of net worth between the two of them. So, and I would assume he's the bulk of that.
I know the way you said it was the way it is, but I also think that plenty of marriages are long over before someone meets someone and they say, you know what I need? The way that feels. Mm-hmm. I forgot that it was supposed to feel like that. I want that excitement back in my life.
Yeah.
I'm going this direction and I'm done with this thing that I've just been living with. you know, and I don't mean the person, I mean that relationship is just run its course. It's sad, but it's true for a lot of marriages. I talk to people and find out very sad things sometimes, you know?
Well, and from the outside, I will say they were married 27 years.
Yeah.
They had kids. They adopted two children.
Right.
Because she was 40 when they got married. Yeah. And he was in his early 20s. Or something, or maybe he was like 26. I think there's a 14 or 16 year age difference. She is just about 70 now. And he's in his mid 50s. Which, listen, when everybody's sort of middle age and it's all working for everybody, that's fine. But, you know, maybe that was part of it. Like, she's a 70 year old woman, she's 69 years old. And he's, you know, that's like.
Oh, part of him wanting to move on.
Maybe, right? She's getting older and he's like, I've got this hot thing who is also 50. This chick Sutton, whatever you said her name was, she's a 50-year-old. She's not going to, you know, they're not going to have a bunch of babies or anything.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like this is a scenario where he wasn't actively pursuing leaving this wife of his,
right.
But he met someone and that, you know, that term spark?
Yep.
That's that thing. You don't go looking for it, but when it's there, you're like, uh-oh, what's this? What's going on here?
This is trouble.
Yikes. So I like him and I'm sad that it didn't work out for them. But I also think if you're stuck in something that's.
You get one life.
Yeah. Like, man, woof.
Well, and I just think I would rather have someone break up with me and go pursue their happiness than be cheating on me and be pursuing their happiness. Like, I wouldn't want to be a fool. So.
Or that whole side of your love affair is dead and you're just roommates.
Right.
Yuck.
So she has now filed for divorce. They've separated a while ago. Mm-hmm. And so now she's filed because they announced that they broke up about 2 years ago. She submitted the paperwork maybe 5 days ago after they reached an agreement behind the scenes, they say here. She's pleased with the settlement. It includes handsome spousal support.
The good fortune they have, and I imagine the average person doesn't have,
yes,
is that everyone is going to live their best life financially on the other side of this divorce, whereas others are like, we're doomed if we try to split up. Half of nothing is really, really
still nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. The source says there was some back and forth regarding this financial agreement, but in the end, Deborah got what she believed she deserved. Both are coming out of this financially secure.
If I was him, I would have just penciled the check. What did you say? 200 something?
$250,000. $250 million. Sorry. $250,000. Not as much as,
right,
$250 million. An insider said that Deborah Furness, 69 years old, got the closure she needed. The next step is now for just a judge to sign off. A separate source confirmed the divorce is uncontested, meaning they've agreed to terms. They've worked out the details in advance, and then they lay it before a judge. And apparently, that's the way you do it when you're rich. They iron out a settlement, alimony, expenses for the future. And for the future of their kids, they say they're amicable, both fully committed to being the best parents they can. Their kids are grown. I think one of them is still a teenager, like 19 years old. Yes, they have a son, Oscar, who's 25, and a daughter, Ava, who's 19. And they were, apparently, it's taken them 2 years to get to this point, but they're there now. So
good for them.
Yeah, they say they were reportedly struggling to see eye to eye on how to divide up. And I think, too, when you're worth the kind of money that this guy's worth, there's probably a bunch of houses and things like that need to get divided up. And
I don't think you want to rush through that breakup, but I do think that at some point everyone wants to move on too, right?
I'm looking at a picture of them from their wedding and they actually both look very young. He looks like a baby in this picture, Hugh Jackman. And then I scroll down a little bit further and there's Hugh Jackman with his new love, Sutton Foster. Rumors had been swirling and then he separates from his wife and then they stop swirling and just the dust settled and there they were standing there. And there are so many pictures in this story. This is just a Page Six thing if you want to look at it. They look blissful. And it's a good look. Like they are just clearly, she's cracking him up in this one picture. They're just like together, like, they're so happy. It's adorable.
Good for them.
Yep. Yeah, The Music Man is where they were co-starring in that together.
Sutton Foster is amazing, and she was in Younger on TV Land.
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
I've watched it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Of course you have.
With Hilary Duff.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, she plays a woman who actually her husband leaves her for a younger woman.
Ooh.
Ironic how life imitates art like that. And she's having trouble getting back into the workforce, so she lies about her age. She's like,
oh,
probably 40, and she pretends that she's 26.
Mm. Well, I never would have guessed that she was 50.
She's got a very young
looking face. She has a very young, she just has like big wide eyes.
Big
and,
smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see her pass. Like even now at 50, she could pass for late 30s. I was surprised to see that she was 50. And she doesn't look like she's got one of those jacked up faces either, which she probably does have. You know, if they all have it now. If you're a star, you have to have a jacked up face.
Not sudden, no.
Oh, you know what? I was reading a Lindsay Lohan story this morning.
Oh, speaking of jacked up faces,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, she's got a new TV show called Count My Lies. And I told you about this a while ago when we didn't go on the air with it. She's playing the wife in a husband-wife thing where they have a kid and they need a nanny. And then the nanny comes in, and apparently these two, the husband and wife, is like, it's sort of like a, it seems like it's kind of a horror story. Hmm. So, but she's saying, what's great about this, and I just started to laugh to myself, she said this is her first role where she doesn't have a romantic interest because she's an American lady. So what possible romantic interest would there be? I just thought that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. You're playing a married lady. Your husband's in the show with you. He's not your romantic interest? Guess not.
Well, there's real life again.
There it is.
Splashing you in the face.
Let's see. Count My Lies is a drama. It's in development at Hulu. Based on a novel by Sophie Stava. I haven't read it, but she was talking about love in the book. She says, but when I was reading it, I had to put it down for a day because I'm like, I'm stressed now. But I like that. It's going to be nice to do something different. She's happy because she's... You know, she doesn't have some makeout scene at the end of the movie, like in every rom-com or whatever. But she was saying in this, she did a thing for Elle's 2025 summer issue. So there's a bunch of pictures of her and stuff. She looks fantastic, actually. But she's talking about, she's like, no, I've never had any plastic surgery.
Mm.
I'm like, oh. Mm. I guess Botox and fillers don't count anymore, you know?
No. Well, surgery.
That's playing with words. Okay.
Because it's funny when you put in Lindsay Lohan new, because I was going to look up, you know, more on the new series, the first thing that pops up is face.
Yep.
Like that's what people are searching.
There are pictures of her where it's just like, who's that? Oh, that's Lindsay. Oh yeah, I guess I can see Lindsay in there somewhere. But that's very judgy of me, so I've got to stop that. Okay, now we're going to talk about the thing nobody wants to talk about. And it's Sean Diddy Combs.
Oh boy.
Things are getting really weird in this trial. So yesterday was the first day back.
Getting
even weirder. Like every day I'm like, oh, that, oh, this, listen to this one. There's a lady by the name of Capricorn Clark. And she is
Capricorn
Clark.
Okay.
And they call her an ex-aide to Diddy. She's the former global brand director for Bad Boy Entertainment, and she was the beginning of this third week of testimony. So this is what happened yesterday. I don't know if she's going to continue on the stand today, but I'll just read it to you. They call it a violent note as the whole week, the new week of testimony begins with prosecutors trying to prove that Combs led a racketeering conspiracy spanning two decades that relied on beefy security employees and others to ensure that he got what he wanted. So this woman says that on her first, this was yesterday, on her first day on the job, Diddy kidnapped her at gunpoint and took her with him to kill rapper Kid Cudi. Capricorn Clark's account of Diddy, his volatile, violent tendencies launched yesterday. Let's see. There's the same thing I just said. So, okay, so he is pleading not guilty to multiple counts of an indictment accusing him of a pattern of abuse toward his longtime girlfriend, Cassie. Clark's testimony came days after Kid Cudi, whose legal name is Scott Mescudi, testified that this woman, Capricorn Clark, called him from a car outside his home in December of 2011 and told him that Combs, who was mad because Kid Cudi was dating Cassie, had kidnapped this. So Capricorn Clark calls Kid Cudi and says, I've been kidnapped. He's forced me to ride with him to your house. We're outside and he's going to kill you. Capricorn Clark, who mostly referred to P. Diddy as Puff during her testimony, said he came to her home that morning with a gun in his hand, demanded that she get dressed and come with him because, quote, we're going to kill Kid Cudi. Capricorn says they rode in the back of a black Cadillac Escalade to Cudi's Los Angeles home. Combs and his bodyguard entered the residence. Clark sat in the car and called Cassie, who apparently I think was in the house. With Kid Cudi, it sounds like. Yes, that is okay, because here's what she testified. P. Diddy got me with a gun, brought me to Kid Cudi's house to kill him. Clark said she heard Cudi in the background of the call to Cassie asking, he's in my house? Stop him. He's going to get himself killed. Cassie told her she couldn't stop Kid Cudi. And this is, honestly, it's, this is not laid out well here. Maybe Kid Cudi's not there. They hear his vehicle come up the road, she said. This is Capricorn Clark. Combs and the bodyguard got back in the vehicle and chased after Kid Cudi, finally giving up when they passed police cars that were headed for Cudi's house, because I think that's where Cassie was. After the break, to me, somebody breaks into your house on the first day of work and holds a gun to you and says, get in the car, we're going to go kill Kid Cudi. That's your last day at work, too.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
Well,
yeah, well,
100%.
After the break-in.
Unless you're someone who's getting into the gangster business. Like, is that what you're after?
Or getting paid.
That's got to be it. After this break-in, Capricorn Clark says that P. Diddy told the people with him they had to convince Kid Cudi it wasn't me. If you don't convince him of that, I'll kill you all, he said, punctuating his threat with an expletive, according to Capricorn Clark. Clark says she and Cassie then went to Kid Cudi's home telling jurors we needed to talk to him. We needed to make sure he wasn't going to make a police report about Puff Daddy. And then after that, she said she watched in shock as Combs viciously assaulted Cassie over the relationship with Kid Cudi. It goes on to describe a terrible beating at his house and on the ground outside his house.
Yuck.
It's to me, I don't know. I feel like if you're only one day on the job, are you already so brainwashed that you
the defense is saying that she like left and came back, and even as recently as 2024 was trying to get a job again with him. So, you know, they're definitely going to call that out.
She worked for him between 2004 and 2018, according to that. Yeah, I mean, she may have gone back to look for more work, but that's well over 10 years. And she says that first day, Combs and a security staff member took her to Central Park after 9 p.m. And he said he hadn't been aware of her history working with other. I mean, it sounds like they yapped about everything yesterday. I'm sorry. That's a little bit garbled.
And I don't know if the break-in is the same one, but you know, when Kid Cudi was on the stand, he was saying that at one point Diddy came to his house, opened a bunch of Christmas presents and locked his dog in a room and left. Because he was supposed to meet him there. And then by the time Cudi gets there, he's gone. But he's like, somebody's like opened up presents and
well,
locked
the
dog
in the
closet.
There was something good, you know?
Yeah.
Dog's barking's bothering me. I don't know. So anyway, they say ex-aide Deshaun Diddy Combs testifies that he kidnapped her in a plot to kill Kid Cudi. So I don't know how that furthers the prosecution's case.
Like, well, at least there's a kidnapping. If that's the case here, then there's something to the charges.
Right.
All they've proven so far, though, is that he's a horrible person.
Right. And an abuser.
So I mean, we're still waiting for the, what is it? What is the actual charge?
Racketeering.
Yeah, it's like sex trafficking and racketeering.
That's sex trafficking is what I was thinking.
They're trying to get him a RICO, as they call it.
RICO?
RICO. It's what they used to use when they, you know, that's how they would get the mobsters, you know, the racketeering, and they just prove that there's a pattern of.
Mm.
Well, that's what they're saying at the beginning of that story is that basically, you know, the guy strong-armed everyone around him to get what he wanted. I just don't know if that is that racketeering.
If you were to ask me today, I would say, I think Diddy's going to get off.
Really?
Yeah. So far, based on the people they've had on the stand, because
I know,
the defense has torn down most
bad.
Of their, yeah, been really good at tearing them down after they've been on the stand.
Well,
it's too bad he's not on trial for being a bad person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they've proven that.
You're bad.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
They've definitely proven that.
Well, and I think this is only one of the cases against him, too. But this is the federal case, right? Because it's like involves crossing state lines with, you know, people being yanked for. Oh, yes, Vinny, your hand is up.
I realize that comparing these two things is probably a mistake, but I do remember I watched the entire OJ trial and the people in the trial, the judge, the prosecutors, the defense became big stars out of this. And in some cases kind of were all like Johnny Cochran was already pretty big. And was it Robert Shapiro? He was pretty big, but are we getting these like a look at the next big?
Well, they don't have the cameras.
No cameras.
Oh, they're not showing it. No. Oh, okay.
Only, yeah, you only see drawings of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And one other development that I heard yesterday was that the third witness that's supposed to testify is now not testifying. She was like one of the other main witnesses other than Cassie and Capricorn. So,
this is the first I even heard of Capricorn. I'm like, yeah. Capricorn Clark? There's a name. And the third one's out?
Third one's out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. I hate to be so crass, but do you guys want to take bets? Like, do you think he's going to get convicted of anything in this? I feel like he's going to. I feel like the jury has to throw something at him.
I'm going to. I'll like, say no. I'm going to
say
no.
Nothing.
And not that he's not guilty, but I just don't think they've done a good job of proving it.
I'm going to trust the process and say that we're still, it's what, 8 weeks they estimated?
Yeah, and this
it's
is only the third week.
So maybe they're slow rolling it. I think from all the many movies I've watched, you don't go and get the guy until you've got the evidence. So hopefully they've got the evidence.
Right.
I think they're still trying to build their case.
Okay.
And so we're getting, they've destroyed him as a human being.
Right.
We still need them to show.
Him doing the stuff they're accusing him
right.
of.
Right. So it's too soon to even say.
Okay. But Maddie's down. I say he gets some. I say something's. You can't sit and watch all that as a juror and not find some way to convict him of something. Like that guy's bad. We need to keep him out of the public world. And I'll end with this just really quick, because I'm hoping that you have a little chunk of a brand new Green Day song for me. This is
I got nothing.
Oh, I was talking to Maddie.
Oh, okay.
Ryan Reynolds is narrating. Apparently, he celebrates Nature's Losers in National Geographic's Underdogs trailer. And in the Underdogs trailer is apparently the theme song to this show that was written by Green Day.
There you go.
Here it is.
With Nature's Benchwarmers, not the superheroes, the super zeros. You tell them, Green Day. Wherever there's an itch in nature's undercarriage, there will be underdogs.
All right, if we had that trailer up at the ceremony Facebook page, right, so people can see it. Yeah, it's fun. It sounds like them.
I like that he throws it to Green Day in the middle of the trailer, though. Right. It's nice.
Take it away. All right, what you got coming up?
It's nice to see him doing something, and I didn't, and then I did. I went, oh, the Baldoni thing.
Like, yeah, I know.
There he is again.
Yeah, he's still wonderful.
The 10 most dangerous foods in your fridge and more after these.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right.
Hello.
Listen, think about this.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Good vibes and variety. Check out the Alice 97.3 Instagram for video reels and pics from the Sarah and Vinny morning show daily, plus links to all our personal profiles.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by La Garza Summer Camp. La Garza Summer Camp's got it all. 30 locations across the Bay Area, a variety of programs from sports to STEAM, flexible scheduling, epic fun for kids, and peace of mind for parents.
Sounds
Head
good.
Head to LaGarzaSports.org and use the code ALICE for $50 off today. That's ALICE. Saves you $50.
Good deal.
At LaGarzaSports.org. Check them out. I mean, you're coming up on that time when you're going to go, I should have checked them out. Darn it. I need to have something for the kids to do.
I forgot all about summer, even though they reminded me over and over again.
Right. Durr.
George.
Cloud cover right now still continues. Overcast conditions. Cooler today. Highs in the 70s. And then we start to heat up as we head to the weekend. The Pacers won last night, and they are one win away from the finals. They'll represent the East when they complete. And OKC plays tonight and can close. They're up 3-1 on Minnesota, who beat us. And that's a 5:30 tip time. So it looks like we're OKC versus the Indiana Pacers. And the television partners are like, oh, there's nobody anybody knows about.
No one cares about
two
them.
Small market right. teams.
Yeah. Oh,
well. How did we end up with this?
Well, they're the best.
Yep.
That's how.
That's how. They earned it.
Yep.
This, well, it is. I mean, right? That's how TV works. They want ratings and they want people to.
Can we get LA or New York into that?
Well, and then the big star. There's some stars. Mm. There's lots of good new players.
Right.
But the big stars are not there.
Right.
Ugh. So this is, I thought, pretty interesting. Consumer Reports did a list of the most dangerous foods in your fridge based on food poisoning stats.
Okay.
So one of the things, I don't know if we've talked about it before or we did so off air. Once you open a jar of tomato, like sauce for pasta,
yum.
And then you don't finish it, you put the cap back on and you put it away. What do?
In your fridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you date it? Do you eat it very quickly? Do you let that go for as long as necessary until you get back to it? Who cares? I haven't died yet. What is your move?
I don't really have a move with that. I feel like I know there's an open jar of tomato sauce in there and I'm going to try to find a way to use it. And then if I don't, and I've been looking, I open up and I see it there every day for a couple days, then I might smell it and go, no, that's still fine, and put it back in.
Couple days.
But if a week or more goes by, I feel like it's been opened. I feel like that's got a week.
Okay.
It's like milk. I mean, milk will last a really long time as long as it's refrigerated.
Right. Maddie?
I will totally leave it in there until there's mold. Then I throw it away.
So
that's my
judgment. And you're like, oh, there's mold, it's ruined. But if there's no mold, it could be a month and you're like, I'm all about it.
You
all
can
about
taste it, right?
I'll tell you exactly what I do.
Okay.
I use the amount of sauce. There's a little bit leftover sauce. My dad taught me never to throw anything away. So it goes into the fridge. I do not make that same meal again for a month, at which time I go and I throw out that sauce, buy a new one. Mm-hmm. I don't even open it.
Yeah.
I know it's not good. Yeah.
Right.
It's gone.
It's fine.
Buy a new sauce and I complete the cycle all over again.
In fact, it's called delayed disposal.
In fact, there is a fresh half full jar of sauce in my fridge right now that's waiting to die.
Okay. Oh, of course. All right. Of course it is. Well, you
might use it. You might use it.
You probably won't
use it, but you might.
That's one of those things. If you look it up, your head will come off because it'll say 4 to 7 days or something like that. And you go, I've gone a month or I've gone 3 weeks. And we even dated at my house. Oh, to help smart. Because we've got, different times. She might make it and then I don't know when that was from. And so there's an absolute need to date them. And yet still, 4 to 7 days?
I know. That's just not enough.
It's too quick.
I have such an issue with those guidelines because they also say, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you're not supposed to eat food that's been sitting out for more than 2 hours.
That is true.
What? Are you kidding me?
It can be dangerous.
Back to Consumer Reports. They posted a list of the most dangerous foods that might be sitting in your fridge now. It's based on how many people got sick or landed in the hospital last year thanks to food poisoning. None of them are definitely dangerous. So this is where the gray area comes in. As Maddie's like, as long as I don't see mold, I'm eating it.
Mm. Yep.
And certain things, you can just scrape the mold off.
Heated it up. It got cooked.
Cheese.
Yeah, you can just scrape the mold off. Right. Bread, sometimes if I don't have any other bread, I'll just cut the mold off of it.
They say here, none of them are definitely dangerous. It's just about how often they're linked to outbreaks. And it's always one of these three types of bacteria, Salmonella, Listeria, or E. coli.
Ew, yuck. They all sound terrible.
Which one of those is going to actually, me? Like Salmonella, it's worth the risk.
I think you can die from any of those. If you get it bad enough of it, I mean, people die from food poisoning.
Yeah, it's more often than not in some courses I've taken in my lifetime is you can get from food a headache, a tummy ache, or even a back end, where'd that come from? Mm-hmm. And it's often food related and you don't even think of it.
Right.
You just go, I don't even know what I had that would have done that. And you live and so you move on with it. Anyway, here's the list. These are 10 foods starting with the most dangerous. Deli meat.
Oh,
old deli meat.
Pretty fast. Mm. You can tell though. Like you open up the pack of turkey and you're just like, I don't think so. It
gets kind of a film on it.
Yes.
Even when deli meat's brand new, I don't want to eat it. It already feels like it's gone bad.
John brings home recipes all the time.
Oh, he has it cut up right there at the deli?
At our Safeway, they've prepackaged a bunch of it. So he just grabs a pack of it.
Okay.
But he looks at the pack date, makes sure it's that day. He cares about that stuff.
These 10 foods are the most dangerous, starting with deli meat. Cucumbers.
What about cucumbers?
They say no deaths, but 173 people hospitalized because of cucumbers. Hmm. And I don't know if that's that they weren't cleaned properly or they sat for too long. But those are those foods, if you cut them up and prep them and now they're sitting in there, there's still a period of time, I would guess, that you have gone too long.
I definitely have let cucumbers get bad and still just cut off the bad part and eat it. So, yeah.
You know, though,
I won't do that anymore.
I have to say, it feels like now that I don't have kids in my house and I live next to a supermarket, I'm like, I would never have a cucumber that I didn't have a need for. Like, I don't know.
Single guy living by myself. Yeah.
And going and doing your grocery shop and bringing it home, stocking up your fridge and stuff. But sometimes I'll be like, we don't have a tomato. I'll be right back and go get one.
The 10 most dangerous foods in your fridge, deli meat, cucumbers, raw milk cheese.
Who just still does raw milk and raw milk cheese?
I don't know.
There's some organic person that's doing that. Mm-hmm. Careful with that.
Queso.
Oh.
Is not that, the not YouTuber. Bathtub. Oh. There's a YouTuber that goes by Queso. My kids all know him.
Queso is like a really specific Mexican cheese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the bathtub cheese, though, is it?
No.
Okay.
They say it's Queso Fresco and Cotija cheese.
Okay.
Which I don't even know if I said that right, but I've never heard of it. Cotija cheese?
You see that all the time on Mexican food. It looks
like a feta
kind of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have seen that a lot of times. Eggs. landed 34 people in the hospital. Onions, leafy greens, organic carrots, organic basil, and pre-cooked meat. Oh. That includes things like pre-made salads and frozen burritos. They toss it on the list because stuff like that gets recalled all the time. Mm. This list was from Consumer Reports. It's the 10 most dangerous foods in your fridge. Deli like meat, number one.
My fridge is just full of the dangerous foods that I've just been sitting around.
Bob touched on it, and I think it's a good point. Most people feel like deli meat's a little sketchy. But cucumbers?
I know.
Who knew?
And cucumbers tell you when they don't want to be eaten.
You pick it up and your fingers squish into them.
Yeah, you just flaccid.
Cut off the squishy parts.
While we're on food, I love this. Gen Z or Gen Y or whoever you are.
Oh.
I'm not sure. You crack me up. The latest cooking term going viral with the kids on TikTok is water-based cooking. What is that?
Boiling things.
Yeah. Water-based cooking.
What's wrong with that? What do you think about that?
I think it's cute.
Yeah.
I think, you know, boiling water and putting macaroni in there.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Well,
here?
Water-based cooking.
I mean, that would be really any pasta.
Or sous vide.
Sure. That's true. You use water for that.
Water-based methods include boiling, blanching, steaming, poaching.
Oh, I see. So all the water-based methods, not just dropping things into boiling water.
Well, hysterical.
Dropping things in.
Yeah. Poaching things is good. Not that I would know, but I've seen people poach things at my house.
Naturally, cooking with water isn't new.
Yeah.
So TikTok, what are you doing? Some people online say, this is so fun. Gen Z just discovered soup. This is just everyday food. What are you guys talking about?
So funny.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Water-based cooking. TikTok has a term for the most basic things. Next quote is, I remember my first soup. Do you remember your first soup? Is that even
the first soup that I ever made? No, I don't remember it. Actually, I don't know if I've ever made soup. John makes soup all the time. He loves to make soup. People, you know, they're the people who cook and really like enjoy it and think about it and save recipes and like get fresh ingredients, all that. And then there's people who are like, you're an awesome cook. Put that in front of me. I will eat that. It's good to know your role.
These are some more comments people made to the water-based cooking. I can't wait for the next TikTok trend about fire-based cooking.
Oh, fire-based. What's that? What could that be? Is that just a hot dog on a stick or is that... Oh, you can light a fire on your stove? This is crazy.
I'm 2 days in. I'm already looking younger. That's a water-based cooking enthusiast.
Cooking, sure.
Great job. Way to go, Gen Z.
Oh,
so fun.
I got a friend who just boils water like in her kettle and drinks hot water all day. She keeps pouring it into her mug. I'm like, is it going to be tea? Are you going to put? She said, no, I just.
Just likes it hot.
Yeah. And then so she poured me a cup of it and it was like a nice way to warm your fingers up, but it was just hot water the whole time.
I imagine that could be good for your throat, right?
Sure.
You know, if you're someone who's going to talk
really
for 4 hours.
I've never heard of that. Like that somebody would just be just heating up a glass, a hot boiling, the thing, kettle goes off, she pours in the water and that's what she's drinking. Okay.
It doesn't really get much healthier. Like when you think about the caffeine you take in with coffee, and even tea has some.
Sure. And tea can be very dehydrating too, actually. What do they call it? What's it when it makes you pee all the time? A
diuretic.
Diuretic.
Diuretic. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Here's a few of the things that you guys had to say.
Okay.
Wait, what? I'm a P-I-C-U-R-N.
A P-I-C-U-R-N. Prenatal intensive care unit nurse?
Yep.
I can't even count how many kids have come in super sick from raw milk or making homemade kefir?
Then maybe they mean the queso.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It might be okay for adults, but not for kids. I drink hot water in cold weather. My family hates it.
Oh.
I can...
It's funny. It doesn't perfectly occur fine. To me, but when I go to her house, she'll pour me a mug of it, and I'm like, oh, thanks. That's really... It's just a glass of water, really.
I grew up with immigrant parents who leave soup out on the stove for days and just reheat to a boil before they served us. No one ever got sick.
That was my house. My
Steely,
mom.
SG, San Jose Radio.
We would leave soup or bean, those like black-eyed peas I make.
If you bring those to my house at 4th of July, you better not do that.
No.
I'd want fresh black-eyed peas. I don't want your beans with your...
But no, you just leave it on the stove and for days until it's gone.
That is how you make people sick, is by leaving something out, letting it cool. It will just...
Repeatedly,
that, it just
too.
Blooms bacteria.
After having gone through a food handling course, one of the things they tell you is, and I don't mean to ruin anybody's good times, but one of the things they tell you is soup never at a restaurant.
Oh,
ever.
And unless it's a nice, there,
because
not, right.
You know, you don't know if they've
probably
just
not hot enough,
made it fresh or been like, it's fine. Heat it back up.
Yep. It's fine.
It isn't.
When you heat it back up, it gets rid of all the bacteria.
Boiling truly crazy.
I'm sure boiling is better than not boiling.
But when you buy soup from a restaurant, you expect that to be
the
some
soup
fresh
of
soup.
The day. Yeah.
No, I want it to be a couple soup. Days old.
No, you don't.
Soup tastes so much better after it's sat for a couple days.
You are being silly.
I actually do agree. However, in those days, as soon as I'm done eating the first serving of it, it cools down a little. It goes directly in the fridge. And then I heat it back up to a boil the next day. And then it goes back in the fridge. And then I heat it up to a boil the next day and back in the fridge. I'm going to leave it out on the stove, Maddie. That's just, you're just asking.
415 says, there's a cucumber recall going on right now, and they recently linked E. coli to the rise in colon cancer in younger people.
Huh.
Oh, as in if you've had a lot of E. coli food poisoning, which,
yes,
as you said, can just be like, wow, that was a loose stool. You know, you might not chalk it up to
food poisoning. Right. Exactly.
Mm. If people are getting it all the time, that's problematic. Damn, that's not good.
What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Death and the Hot 100.
My God.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Oh, look at that.
Alice at 97.3.